Hi, I'm Alice Creswell. Welcome to my podcast. Check out my website, alicecreswell.com, for more resources and to send me a message. So what I thought I'd do is I'll tell you a little bit of my story, because quite often people ask, how did you start out seeing miracles? And, you know, maybe you want to do the same thing, or you want to receive a miracle. So how did that happen for you? I get asked a lot. So I thought I'll just share some things with you. And very often when I'm speaking, miracles happen without me even mentioning them, you know, particularly. So don't wait for someone to get a word of knowledge for your condition. You don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you, because Jesus himself is here and he is the healer. And his presence is here. Very often in the Bible, in the Gospels, we read that his presence was there. He was there and he healed all who came to him. So if you're here to receive a miracle of healing, then you can just receive that, because he is here. It's his power. So I grew up in a Christian home. I think I was 4 when I gave my life to Jesus. And I was very blessed, because my parents and my family, I think I'm like 7th generation Christian on one side, and my great-grandfather, I think, was connected with the Welsh Revival. And I've just, you know, sometimes you go digging into your family and you find scary things. Well, thankfully, things I've heard have all been pretty good. I haven't heard about the negative side of it. But even if we have really difficult, you know, ancestors or generational, in fact, we're gonna break off some generational curses. I think that's going to be tomorrow. You might have to hang on some till tomorrow. Bring all your demons tomorrow, because we're going to be doing breaking demonic strongholds. But if you just think you might have something now and you want to get rid of it, then don't hang on to it. Let it go. Because some of you are going to get free and you're going to get healed. You're going to get delivered. Things are going to leave. So, in fact, just while I said that, I felt like somebody was getting free of some generational thing. There's like a hereditary thing that, I don't know, there's probably quite a few of you, but there's something specific to do with like a blood disorder. Who's that? Sickle, yeah? Have you got that? Or somebody you know? And somebody over there? Sickle cell. Well, we just released a healing right now, because I really felt like the Lord just told me that somebody with a hereditary blood disorder, which sickle cell is, I think, isn't it? Is getting healed. So we release that healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know what the symptoms are, but if you can check yourself out or do something to find out over the next couple of days, let me know as soon as there's any change. Because healing is something that can be gradual. So healing isn't always instant. So sometimes we see people are healed, but they don't know about it fully. They know something's happened, but it's as they walk out of the next few days, the next few weeks and months, they realize they're completely better. I like to see miracles because I want to know. I might never see the person again. I'm like, come on, tell me what's happening right now. Is it better? Are you completely healed? And most of the time, yes, but not always. But then actually healing can be gradual. So if you feel like something's happening, but maybe you don't even feel it, but you need to keep checking yourself out, go back to doctors, get, you know, tested or whatever. Do that. Make sure you do. And just because you don't feel like, oh, I've got all my healing, I know instantly that, you know, you're in a wheelchair, suddenly you're walking, that's obvious. But if something doesn't seem to have changed, don't get disappointed and think, oh, it didn't happen for me. Because that's what the enemy wants you to start feeling. And then you're not going to receive your healing, because you're coming into agreement with the enemy. But actually, if you think, no, Jesus did this for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. He's already paid the price. He took all my sin, all my sickness, all my pain. It says in Isaiah 53. He took it. So you can be healed. You can be free. You can be forgiven. He conquered death. He conquered death. So, you know, we need to be able to say, no, I believe what the Bible says. I base all my thinking not on my circumstances or what's happening to me or not happening to me, but what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. So I grew up and I was like, I would be reading the Bible and I'd read things like Psalm 103, which I really like. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our sins and he heals all of our diseases. How many? Now, I looked that word up in the original language, and guess what it means? Oh! Wow, you're, must be Hebrew scholars to know that, but that's, I think it's the word koili or something, I'm not so good, I can't remember names like that, but it means every, all, everything. So whatever your condition, whatever your symptoms, whatever, it could be the worst thing in the world to you, Jesus has paid the price for it. He took it on himself. When he went to the cross, when he was being whipped, your pain, your sickness, your infirmities, our infirmities were laid on him. And he rose again, victorious over all of it. So I'd be reading scriptures like that. And, you know, Matthew 10, 7 to 8. Jesus said, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, or skin conditions, that means, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. And then I'd be reading books from past revivalists, like Mariah Woodworth Etter, and John G. Lake, and Smith Wigglesworth, who I saw in heaven one time, before I'd even heard of him. And I saw him, and then when I saw his picture, I was like, that's the guy that I saw in heaven. So all these people, I would read their stories, and you know, and in the book of Acts, I'd be reading about the followers of Jesus, what they did. And these past revivalists that saw the dead raised, that saw healings and all these miraculous things happening and demons cast out. And I was like, I want to do that. So what I thought was, right, Jesus says, you know, I'm reading the scripture, Jesus says we can do it. So I was actually a shy person. I'm not anymore. I'm a, what do you call it? Introvert. Yeah, I'm an introvert. So I forced myself to go up to people that I'd never met before, sometimes in a shop or on a street or on the bus or something, and I would actually make myself talk to them, which for me was really painful. But when you give your life to Jesus, your life is no longer your own. And it just dawned on me one day, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, Galatians 2:20. But it's Jesus who lives in me because he loves me and he gave himself up for me. And now he lives in my body. That's the thing. That's what we've got to start thinking. Actually, no, Jesus, if we invite him into our lives, he's there. He's in us. And we can ignore him. And the more we ignore him, we realize we can't hear his voice anymore or whatever. But we go on and do our own thing. But we have a choice. Do we let Jesus out? And to let him out, we've got to realize that my life is no longer my own. It belongs to Jesus. And if I read scriptures and it says, you know, go and do these things, it's a command of Jesus. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And people are going to get healed. So I would make such an effort and go up to people. And I would ask if I could pray for them. And sometimes they would run away. Sometimes I would run away. Sometimes I would catch what they'd got. Sometimes they would get worse. Some even died, which was, you might have had that, but it's bad. When you are full of faith for somebody and you're really contending along with a family and that person dies, it's really, really tough. And that is, at that point, the enemy comes in and wants you to give up. But you got to make that choice. I'm not going to give up. If you want to see miracles, if you want to see the sick healed, if you want to receive your healing, do not give up. Don't come into agreement with the enemy. So anyway, I prayed for people for about 12 years and I didn't really see any miracles. 12 years. I'd be fasting. I'd be praying through the night. I'd be crying. I'd be interceding. I'd be stepping out in faith and pushing myself to do it, full of faith, and yet nothing seemed to happen. And it's really easy to give up. But thankfully, I didn't give up. And what happened was, so it was about 2003, the Lord told me, I was a businesswoman with my family living in our dream home that we loved. I absolutely love this house that we'd done lots of things to. And the Lord said to me, give it all up. Give up your career, which I knew meant selling my dream home. But thankfully, I was obedient. If you want to see the sick get well, you've got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If you want to see miracles, if you want to live an overcoming life, if you want to see breakthrough in your life, continued breakthrough, living an overcoming life, you need to be obedient to the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Spirit of Jesus. Wow, I can feel His presence now really strongly. Holy Spirit. Because God loves you so much that He gave His life for you. And you can be filled with His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. But it's good that we follow His voice, that we hear His voice, that we follow everything He says to do and be obedient, no matter how difficult, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how impossible. One thing I've come to learn about the Lord is that, you know, when you're thinking, is that really? Because you never really know. Let's face it, you never really know it's God. I mean, you can't. Sometimes you're pretty sure. But for me, anyway, I'm never 100% sure it's God, unless it's written in the Word and it's something specific like that. But generally, in day-to-day life, you listen, try and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You just think, well, Lord, my heart is after You. I want to be obedient and do everything You tell me to do or not do. But you never really, I'm not really that 100% sure. But as you step out in faith, that's when you see something happening. It's impossible to please God without faith, the Bible says. Is anybody hot or is it just me? Is it all this hot air coming on? Is it hot? Can we open the door? Or we were trying to turn the heating down this morning and it didn't seem to want to go down. So a bit of fresh air. I don't want you all falling asleep. How are you all doing anyway, apart from being hot? You all right? Somebody's just getting healed now. Is somebody that somebody spoke something over you many years ago? I don't know whether it's a parent or a doctor or something. And while I'm speaking, your heart's just going because the Holy Spirit's just doing something in your life now. But it was something that you've believed that it was actually a lie. And I don't know if it was a condition or something in your life, but you are just being set free from that now. That's what the Holy Spirit's just showing me. So just decide not to believe the lies of the enemy, because the enemy speaks through people, sometimes directly to you, but very often through people. So I just release that healing now in the name of Jesus. So I was praying for all these years and nothing much was happening. Hang on, I've got to keep an eye on the time, haven't I? And one time I was in France. I think it was in 2004 with some friends of ours. We were there with our families. And I was in the supermarket and I saw this boy who was just 3-4 years old, I think, who had big hearing aids in his ears. And I'm like, oh, God, do you want to heal this boy? And I was asking the question because at that point I didn't really realize that, yes, God wants to heal everybody. So I asked him the question and the Lord just said to me, yes, of course I want to heal him. So I said, okay. I thought, okay, I'm going to pluck up courage. It's in France. I don't speak a word of French. Well, maybe a couple. That's about it. So suddenly it was this big supermarket, like a hypermarket in France. And he's sitting in the supermarket trolley and the shopping cart for you Americans, because they always laugh at me when I say trolley. So he's sitting in his mother's shopping cart trolley going through the hypermarket, and by the time I'd kind of thought, oh yeah, I'm going to pray for him for healing, he was disappeared into the crowd. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't know if you ever do this, but I thought, can you make it so that if you want me to pray for him, as I come out the checkout, make it so that he's there as well, and I'll pray for him. That's how I'll know that it really is you, God. So I'm coming out of checkout, no sign of this little boy, and I'm kind of thinking, oh, what a relief. I don't have to go up to try and speak French or anything. And as I'm coming out, like through the main doors, who should be standing next to me? But the mother with the trolley and the little boy just next to me. And I'm like, oh no, here we go. So I was like, I was trying to remember my school French from like decades ago. And I was like, excusez-moi. And then I was thinking, le garçon, non, écoutez. Because we used to do écoutez and répétez and the, you know. So she's like, yeah, no, he doesn't, you know, he can't hear. And so I'm like, moi, priez, which I made up, but apparently, is that right? Apparently, it's, priez is kind of the right word in France. So I was like, well, moi, priez pour le garçon. And she's like, oui, you know. So I was like, okay, what do I do? So I, suddenly, I feel the power of God going through me like never before. And it's like my hands are pinned onto the shopping trolley handle and I can't get them off. And I'm like, hands, get off the trolley. I'm trying. And now I'd seen Benny Hinn on the TV. So I thought, what you got to do is you got to put your hands on the, you know, do all the stuff. So I'm trying to get my hands on his ears. And they get off and they're shaking so much with this electrical kind of feeling of power. I'm trying to get my hands on his ears and they're doing this and I'm thinking, oh no, I'm so embarrassed. My friends were standing next to me and I was just like, oh God, what are you doing to me? And I eventually get them onto his ears and I'm like, I can't remember what I prayed. Something like, I might have said spirit of deafness go or be healed in Jesus' name, something like that. And I managed to get my hands off his ears. And then the mother is taking the hearing aids out while I'm doing this. And I think, oh, that's a good sign. So because I've seen Benny Hinn on the TV, I thought what you do is you click next to their ears, you see. Yeah, I've seen it. So I went like that, and he just turned. And I was just starting to think, could this be my first miracle in 12 years of praying? When suddenly the mother sticks his hearing aids back in his ears, taps her watch, and legs it out of the supermarket. And I'm like, oh, God, that could have been so wonderful. Anyway, the Lord said to me, I have healed him, then they're going to know that it's Jesus that's done it. I would have liked to have seen it, but hopefully one day in heaven, if, you know, not on this earth, I will meet that little boy. But things like that would happen where I would, you know, it's like, oh, I'm so close to seeing something, and it never really happened. And I'm going to have to fast forward through some of my story. I've got so many stories, but they just take forever to tell. But I learn a lot through my mistakes and stories are good because it reminds you of things. It's really, you know, it's important to tell stories, whether it's been successful or not. It's good, really, to share with others. So fast forward a few years and the Lord, you know, told us to give up our dream home and to buy a house in Blaken, which is just a mile from here. And it's a neighborhood, part of Chester, where there's lots of crime and drugs. There's about 18,000 people. And so we moved to Blaken, and he told us to open a little cafe. So we did. We got this little cafe. And what was amazing was that literally the week we opened the cafe, miracles started breaking out after all those years of really going after God to see healing. And I mean, I wasn't praying for miracles. I wanted to see healing. And what I found in the passage, you know, with the, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, it lists 9 gifts. I think there's more than 9, but there's 9 gifts listed there in 1 Corinthians 12. And I remember years ago praying, I wanted to get words of knowledge. So I was going after words of knowledge. And 2 years after I really prayed, really going after it for 2 years, not only did I get words of knowledge, but I got prophecy as well. And you know, when I was praying all those 12 years wanting to see healings happen, I think what I was going after, because you know, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, earnestly desire the things of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. And you've got to be really wanting it. It's like the Lord says, come on, how desperate are you? He's not just going to throw these things away. It's like, no, I really want you, God. I want everything you've got for me and for other people. And I think when I was contending for 12 years to see the gift of healing manifested, which I didn't really realize at the time that it was the gift of healing I was going after, or the gifts, I also got the gifts of miracles, or the gift of miracles, which I hadn't pursued that, but I just love seeing miracles, no matter what they are, whether it's healing or could be any kind of breakthrough. You know, we're talking about this weekend, something that happens instantly. I love to see that. And I love helping other people not only receive their miracle, but step into that lifestyle for themselves. Miracles every day, that they can release it for others everywhere they go. So there's impartation going now. Do you realize that? Can you feel that? This is not just, I tell you what, if I can do this, you can do it. I am relatively normal person. But I am. I'm just a, you know, middle-aged grandmother. What I am, but how much more than that are we? You know, we obviously that was all I was. I'd be very happy to be middle-aged, maybe not the middle-aged, but the grandmother bit. I love being a grand. But you know, there is, I don't know, we can all do much more than we can even begin to think or imagine. God does it through us, but it's as we submit our lives to Him.
Check out my website, alicecreswell.com, for more resources and to send me a message.